Today's message is entitled Christmas Treasure, and we'll begin with a reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. We just heard a very treasured passage of Scripture, often read this time of year, and it holds treasure for us this morning. We can read this over and over again, and yet it never loses its sense of wonder. Two things I wish to point out from this passage. First, I want to draw attention to what Mary did. Mary did something here, something we should take particular notice of. It says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Treasuring and pondering, that's what Mary was doing. And just what things did she treasure up and ponder in her heart? Well, things related to Jesus being the Messiah. She treasured up and pondered these things about Jesus. If there is any activity under heaven that is most suitable to this Christmas season, or any other season for that matter, or any day or hour we live on this earth, it would be this one thing. I think that it is an easy case to make that there is no preoccupation Christians can engage in that produces more good fruit in our own hearts and lives and the hearts and lives of those we touch than this simple activity of treasuring and pondering things about Jesus. I guarantee it will fix a lot that is wrong with us and put the whole world right again. For as we treasure up and ponder things related to Jesus, we can't help but treasure Jesus himself. Just consider some prophecies about the coming of this Messiah, things related to his nature. Ponder this. It says in Zechariah 9:9 about the coming of the Messiah King, that unlike what we might expect from the pride and pomp of kings and lords, it says that this king, this Lord, will come humbly, riding on a donkey. Does that not cause us to treasure him? Or ponder this. In Isaiah 42:3, it says the Messiah is so tender-hearted that he will not break a bruised reed or snuff out a flickering candle. Does not that make us treasure him? And it says in Isaiah 61 that the Messiah will proclaim good news to the poor. Well, there's always plenty of bad news for the poor, but Jesus is the one who brings good news to the poor. That news is that he is their advocate, their savior. And no matter how poor we may be or may become, Jesus generously shares his riches with us. Does not this make us treasure him? It also says in that passage that he will bind up the brokenhearted. Jesus, who wept at the tomb of Lazarus, not only knows deeply, but feels deeply for our losses and crosses and deepest pains that we hide from others. He feels these and he grieves with us. But not only that, he heals the heart with his own love. There's a saying, time heals all wounds. Well, it doesn't, but Jesus does, and Jesus will. Does not this make us treasure him? It also says that he will proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. There are many kinds of captivity. We can be a prisoner to sin, a prisoner to fear, a prisoner to substance abuse, a prisoner to a toxic relationship, a prisoner to the oppression of people. No matter what captivity we may be imprisoned by, Jesus can proclaim freedom because he has the power to break every chain. Does not this make us treasure him? Next, it says that he will comfort all who mourn. He doesn't just see and feel our pain and loss. He administers comfort. He applies his love to our wounds like a soothing salve, like a healing balm. Does not this make us treasure him? Next, it says that he will bestow on such as these a crown of beauty instead of ashes, of joy instead of mourning. Well, that's a lot to ponder. Does not all this make us treasure him? Is the Messiah the treasure of our heart? Well, if not, there's a very simple reason for this and a very simple remedy. If Jesus is not the utmost treasure of our hearts and minds and lives, it's not because he isn't treasurable enough. It's because we don't know him nearly enough. There's a saying about particularly lovely people. You might say of a really good man, to know him is to love him. Well, if that's true of anyone, it's ever much more true of Jesus. To know him is to love him. Now, there are some people, and we've all known people like this, the more you get to know them, the less there is to like about them. Perhaps lovely on the outside, but dark and twisted on the inside. We've all known people like that, that we become disillusioned about the more we get to know them. But Jesus is just the opposite. The more we read his words, the more we ponder his ways, the more we understand his heart, the more our affection and admiration and love grow and grow and grow and keep on growing until the prospect of leaving this life to be with Jesus face to face in the next life is not a thing of dread, but a thing to face with joyful anticipation. And the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give us so many various glimpses into the heart of Jesus. We read the gospels and we see the beauty of his character. The more we observe his compassion, his gentleness, his kindness, his generosity, his tenderness, his self-sacrifice, we can't help but say that he is someone worth loving and worth loving above all other loves, and that he is someone worth dying for. More than that, someone worth living for. I don't think there is a more important duty for the believer than to daily get to know Jesus more and more, better and better, day by day. It should be our preoccupation. After all, he's the church's heavenly bridegroom. He's the one we're going to spend endless ages loving and adoring and having countless delightful adventures with. In the new heavens and the new earth he's planned for us. As 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no heart has imagined all the things that God has prepared for those who love him. So it's only natural that we should be preoccupied with him. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. It doesn't say, taste and see if the Lord is good. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is good whether we taste or don't taste. That is what he is. His goodness is not dependent on our tasting, but our enjoyment of that goodness is. He's good, and we need only to taste his goodness. And if we do, we come to the unanimous conclusion that he is good, exceedingly good. It's a his love is better than life kind of good. And his love is not only better than ordinary life, but better than the very best of life. But without tasting, without pondering and treasuring, we don't get to enjoy that goodness. We should never get done reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, line by line, word by word, pondering and treasuring all the many facets of the love of Jesus, his gentle love, his humble love, his steadfast love, his deeply compassionate love, a tender love, an ever-watchful love, a shepherd-hearted love. Because when we get done reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know what we should do then? Go back and start again. Then we should read the epistles or letters of Paul and Peter and John, because Jesus is the theme of those letters too. Then we can read devotionals or commentaries about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because the Gospels were written in shorthand, and a good commentary or devotional can help flesh out a fuller meaning and understanding of what Jesus said and did. Then there's also the beautiful hymns that celebrate the love of Jesus and give us fresh views into his heart. The writer of Hebrews says in verse 1 of chapter 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he also made the universe. That's what the writer of Hebrews says. Then he says something very remarkable. He says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. The radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. We have clearer views of God through the life and love of Jesus than anything Moses or David or the prophets of old gave us. God the Father himself declared from the skies in Matthew 17:5, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. A voice from God the Father says, listen to my Son. Well, by golly, we should do that. Listen to and ponder and treasure the one who is the exact representation of the being of God. The whole of the Bible is about Jesus in one way or another. The Old Testament is the story of why we so need this Messiah. And the New Testament is a story of his coming and the salvation he brought to earth. The Christmas story. And we see him most clearly in the Gospels. We see his great love, and when we realize that great love, that infinite love, is directed at us, individually and particularly, then our hearts cannot help but love him in return. Our hearts become full of love from him and for him. And you know what else happens? When we see that love of Jesus for us personally, and we find that our heart is loving him in return, well, there's a transformation that takes place. We can't help but wanting to be like him. You love a kind person, you want to be kind. You love a generous person, you're inspired to be generous. You love a gentle person, you can't help but let that gentleness rub off on you. You love a pure person, you want to be pure. And when you truly love someone, you don't want to do what displeases them. Those sins we were so fond of lose their attraction. And then there's something else. We treasure and ponder Jesus. Our hearts fill with love. And we can't help but shine like lights in a dark world. Oh, to sum up this point, if we don't think we love Jesus passionately and delightfully, oh, there's a simple solution. Get to know him better. And the Christmas season is the perfect time to do that. There is so much more to know. There is so much to treasure in Jesus. And to quote John Piper, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. But we only treasure him because he first treasured us. He treasured us enough to die on a cross that we might be his treasure. He is our treasure, and we are his treasure. The other point I want to make, I'll only briefly mention. The account we read did not just involve Mary. There were also shepherds. Now I want to point out what they did. Treasuring and pondering the Messiah and everything about the Messiah is a wonderful thing, but it is in itself incomplete. It says of the shepherds, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. They didn't keep this treasure to themselves, because this treasure is of a different kind than most treasure. Most treasure, like the treasure of money or other valuables, when you share them, you end up with less treasure. Your share of that treasure is diminished to the degree you share it with someone else. But when we share Jesus, and no matter how much of Jesus we share, our share of Jesus does not decrease in the slightest. In fact, the more we share Jesus with others, the more of him we seem to enjoy. I'm not sure how that works, but I know it does. The call of the Christian life can be summed up in these few words: to know him and make him known. And it doesn't matter how articulate we are. As long as you know the address of a good Bible-centered church, you know all you need to change the trajectory of a person's life. Ponder that.
How lovely shines the morning star. The nations see and hail afar. The light in Judah shining. Thou David, son of Jacob's race, my bridegroom and my king of grace, for thee my heart is pining. Lowly, holy, great and glorious, thou victorious Prince of Graces, filling all the heavenly places. Now richly to my waiting heart, O thou my God, deign to impart the grace of love undying. In thy blessed body let me be, e'en as the branches in the tree, thy life my life supplying, sighing, crying for the savor of thy favor resting never, till I rest in thee forever. Thou mighty Father, in thy Son didst love me ere thou hadst begun.
This ancient world's foundation, thy Son hath made a friend of me. And when in spirit him I see, I joy in tribulation. What bliss is this? He that liveth to me giveth life forever. Nothing me from him can sever.